From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Thursday here on Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We have a fantastic show, as always, in store for you today. In just a moment, we'll dive into Michigan State and OSU. Yes, those two will be going at it on Saturday at Spartan Stadium. And there have been a few certain tweets that have been going back and forth between these two. Yeah, a little trash talking is ensuing, folks. We'll tell you about it in just a sec. The Detroit Pistons get their first win. The Red Wings lose in another heartbreaker, this time to New York. And you'll have a chance to win two tickets to tomorrow night's Michigan State and St. Cloud State men's basketball game. Find out how to do it in just a sec. But as custom here on Current Sports, here's my man Andrew Hayes with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Thursday, November 6th.
I'm Andrew Hayes, and here are your Quick Hit Headliners for November 6th, 2014. DeWitt defeated Okemos in the girls' volleyball Class A district semifinals last night, sweeping all three sets. The Panthers will face Waverly tonight in the district finals. The Red Wings lost their third straight game with a 4-3 overtime defeat at the hands of the New York Rangers last night. Wings left winger Dan Cleary scored a goal in his first game since late January. Tomas Tatar scored with 7.7 seconds left in regulation to force overtime, but a Rangers power play goal from Derek Brassard with less than 2 minutes left in the bonus frame gave New York the win and extra point. Detroit returns home tomorrow night to play the New Jersey Devils. Puck drop is scheduled for 7:30. The Pistons notched their first win of the season, 98-95 win over the New York Knicks. Detroit was up by 18 heading into the fourth quarter, but surrendered 36 points in the frame. Andre Drummond led Detroit with 23 points and 18 boards. Quote, "We definitely made it a little tougher than it had to be, but definitely happy to get the win," Drummond said. Josh Smith struggled, shooting just 2 of 17 on the night, but locked down New York's Carmelo Anthony, holding the forward to 5 of 21 from the floor. The Pistons' next game is tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks. Tip is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. After battling knee injuries since college, San Francisco 49ers running back and former South Carolina star Marcus Lattimore retired yesterday without ever playing in a game. Lattimore said, quote, "I have given my heart and soul to the game that I love, and it's time for me to move on to the next chapter of my life and help others. I've given every ounce of my energy toward making a full recovery from my knee injury, and I have made a lot of progress. Unfortunately, getting my knee fully back to the level the NFL demands has proven to be insurmountable." The Lions will be playing in London again next year. The 2015 London schedule was released this morning. Three games will be played there next season, including the Lions-Chiefs matchup on November 1st of 2015. The Dolphins and Jets were the other notable game, as it will be the first time two teams from the same division will face off in London. Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson reached a plea deal on Tuesday in Texas regarding the charges related to child abuse brought against him, but the NFL refused an attempt by Peterson's camp to immediately reinstate him. Peterson's lawyer and agent pushed for reinstatement immediately following the plea deal, but the NFL insisted it is working on its own timetable. Peterson has not played since week one after it became public that he was under investigation for allegedly hitting his four-year-old son with a switch. Victor Martinez, one of the hottest free agents on the market, wants to remain in the Motor City, according to teammate JD Martinez. Quote, "He's definitely indicated that if he's got a legitimate offer and it's close enough to everybody else, he definitely wants to stay in Detroit," Martinez told Jim Bowden and Casey Stern on MLB Network Radio's Inside Pitch on Tuesday evening. Victor Martinez compiled a career year of 32 home runs, 103 RBI, and a .335 average in 2014. He was the Tigers' team leader and will reportedly aim for a four-year deal this offseason. The team extended him a one-year qualifying offer worth $15.3 million on October 31st. Victor has until November 10th to accept or most likely decline the offer. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners for November 6th. Now back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Again, our phone lines are open. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock. Folks, if you want to call in, that number to call is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. It's going to be an exciting show, ladies and gents, as we, in just a sec, are going to dive into the Michigan State and Ohio State rivalry. Some new news was released yesterday that linebacker Mylon Hicks will be eligible to play on Saturday. A big addition for that Michigan State defense, that highly touted Michigan State defense, that will be trying to slow down JT Barrett and company on Saturday. And Tywan Jones, I don't know if you guys saw this at all, but, you know, as mentioned, there were a few tweets that were flying around yesterday. And which concerned Tywan, because if you know, on Tuesday, we actually mentioned it on the show during the morning presser for Michigan State. Of course, D'Antonio, he addresses the media during the week for that upcoming matchup for that Saturday. And, you know, this week is a little different because a lot of players hit the podium as well to weigh in on this weekend's Michigan State and Ohio State game. Tywan Jones was one of them. And, you know, he approached the podium and he was asked about JT Barrett, the freshman quarterback for Ohio State, in comparison to Braxton Miller, the quarterback who was injured on the brink of this season. JT Barrett, if you've been following what this kid has been doing this entire season, he has been nothing short of remarkable. I was one of the people who actually pronounced Ohio State dead before this season started upon hearing the news of Braxton Miller. I didn't think this freshman would come in and play the way he's played so far this year. He has been truly remarkable, and Ohio State has seemingly not missed a beat since losing Braxton Miller, and maybe even, you know, in a few people's eyes, have taken a few steps forward rather than back with Barrett behind center. Well, Tywan Jones feels that exact same way. He took the podium and said, yeah, he thinks that Braxton Miller is not as good as JT Barrett. JT Barrett is better. So Braxton heard about this. Now, again, Braxton Miller will not be playing on Saturday. Braxton is still out with that injury, of course. JT is the starting QB. But, you know, he felt as though his ego took a bit of a shot upon hearing what Jones had to say, and he decided to fire back at Tywan. And there was this whole Twitter fiasco ensued. So much so that even former MSU cornerback who won the award for the top corner in all of college football, Darquez Dennard, who was with the Cincinnati Bengals, Darquez decided to even weigh in on it and, you know, took up for Jones and said, hey, man, I got your back. Braxton, you don't want none of this, basically. So, you know, and yesterday, it's so funny because we talked about what a rivalry is. You know, what when you talk about Michigan State and Ohio State, is it a rivalry? Is it not? And we kind of, you know, debated about what makes, you know, something a rivalry in sports. And I also said, if you have to add some ingredients to what a rivalry truly is, for me, again, it's just my opinion, I there has to be a little bit of nastiness to it. There has to be something, you know, there has to be some I don't like you, you don't like me type of atmosphere in it. And with that comes a bit of trash talking. And trash talking can light the spark to that very notion. So, yeah, there's a little bit of personal added incentive to this game. And when you consider the fact that if you take a peek at the Michigan State football roster, you will see that a lot of players are from Ohio. Yeah, you better believe that these teams are going to go at it on Saturday. It's one of those games where you kind of wait all week and you're just like, oh my goodness, I just want to see this game played now. You know, there's been so much build up to it. We've talked about it each and every day here on Current Sports throughout the week and even last week, considering the fact that Michigan State, you know, had a bye after playing Michigan. So we've definitely squeezed all the water out of that sponge, and we're just ready to get it on now and see these two teams go at it. We had Ernie Boone to sort of dissect his thoughts on the game, and man, I just can't wait to see it take place. All right, folks, again, our phone lines will be open, 517-355-9527. I have to remind you all that Current Sports TV will be airing the Lindsey Hunter episode tonight. Yes, Lindsey Hunter is a famed guard with the Detroit Pistons. You know, he was he had an outstanding NBA career. You know, of course, he was with that team in 2004 that won an NBA championship. That's the last Detroit Pistons championship in franchise history. Hopefully this season. I'm a big Pistons fan, so hopefully this season they can bring me one. I don't know. They still got a long way to go. But but Lindsey Hunter was certainly a hallmark on that team. A lot of people don't know that Lindsey does not just only have that ring. He also has a ring in 2001 when he played with the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe Bryant and company, Shaq and Kobe and whatnot, as Lindsey was signed on that team late. And they ended up winning a championship that was part of their three-peat and that whole Lakers dynasty during that time. So Lindsey was also on that team as well. So he's got not one but two rings. Pretty cool sit down with Lindsey. What you won't hear, because we always give you guys a preview, a sneak peek into the night's Current Sports TV interview sit down, which we'll do today. So you'll get to hear Lindsey, a snippet of my interview with Lindsey. But there are also some pretty cool things you won't get to hear that you have to wait for tonight in the 12th man section of our show, where we take questions from our live studio audience. We had a very good audience last night. Shout out to all of you who came out to the Communication Arts and Sciences building and enjoyed that episode. We had about, I want to say, like 20 to 25 people last night. Great time with you guys. Love seeing your smiling faces each and every Wednesday night. But anyway, there were some interesting questions thrown out at Lindsey. And Lindsey had a pretty cool Michael Jordan story that you're definitely going to want to hear. And he also had a story about him and Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe definitely in my top 10 basketball player list of all time, with, you know, Lindsey playing with the LA Lakers back in 2001. Lindsey and Kobe actually got into it. Yeah, you'll get to hear that. I don't want to spoil and spill the beans on what exactly happened during that altercation, but you'll get to hear it tonight, folks. So again, that'll air tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You do not want to miss that. If you go to sleep before then, DVR it, folks, or simply go to video.wkar.org, and it will be posted later on tonight. And you can, on video.wkr.org, if you click Current Sports TV, you can catch that episode and every single episode we've done in Current Sports TV history. So, but yeah, you'll get to see a sneak peek preview of that interview in just a sec. And later on, we'll also have Throwback Thursday, a busy, busy Thursday in the world of sports, folks. So much happened on this day in sports, so you don't want to miss that at all either. But you know what? Again, folks, as I stated, you know, we're giving away tickets, home tickets, to each and every MSU men's basketball game, each and every MSU women's basketball game, and each and every hockey home game. Each and every hockey home game, and so on and so forth. We'll be giving you guys tickets away, giving two tickets away for each and every game. And we're starting today, folks. We are starting today. But I have to say that here at Current Sports, we don't make it easy. It's not like, you know, we'll take caller number three and you're the winner. No. You have to earn those tickets. You got to earn them. So what we're going to do right now, starting right now, folks, is we're going to have you call in. If you call in, we will patch you through our airwaves. Alex is behind the glass right now waiting anxiously for you. We'll patch you through the airwaves, and you're going to have to answer a trivia question about Michigan State men's basketball. And if you get it right, hey, you got those tickets. You'll get to take somebody to the Breslin Center tomorrow night and enjoy that game, that exhibition game between the Spartans in St. Cloud State. So if you think that your MSU men's basketball knowledge is up to par, give us a call right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls. We'll patch you through. We'll give you the question. I'll give you about, because I don't want to make this easy for, again, I'm not about the easy route here. I'm going to give you, I told myself, 15 seconds. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to answer that question. Now, I don't know what kind of phone you got, if you're with Verizon or T-Mobile, Sprint, Metro, PCS. You know, I don't know who you're with. Your network hopefully is fast, as I'm only giving you 15 seconds. If you want to Google it, do it. But if you don't answer within 15 seconds, you get the answer wrong, and we will go to our next caller. So, again, folks, the number to call is 517 355-9527. In the meantime, while you guys are blowing up our phone lines, definitely want to talk about Michigan State and OSU really briefly here. Because, again, this is the talk of the town. This is the game that is going to decide the Big Ten championship winner, I think. For me, look at the Big Ten East. I think that it's been a two-team horse race this entire year so far. Michigan State and Ohio State have clearly been the best two teams in this entire conference. You know, the Spartans have shown that they can hang with pretty much anybody. Looking at that Oregon game, even though, yeah, on paper, the Spartans, it looks like they got the butt whooped. But a lot of people forget that they actually had a 9-point lead in that third quarter. In that third quarter, Michigan State, at the beginning of the third quarter, up until the beginning of the third quarter, Michigan State, I'm sitting there looking at my TV like, okay, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is the turning point for the Michigan State football team to really put a permanent stamp that, yeah, we've arrived. Now, I mean, okay, you know, you can look at the Michigan State winning the Rose Bowl, but for me, in order to put a staple on how great a program is, and you have to have consistent success, okay? So, Michigan State right now still has a legitimate chance at making the 14 playoff. They have a legitimate chance of making a case that they deserve to be in the national championship game, and they had a case last year, let's be honest here. I mean, they went all the way and won the Rose Bowl. They didn't just get there. They didn't just get complacent and get there and lose to Stanford. They handled business, and they beat Stanford. D'Antonio has got this program at a place that I frankly haven't seen it before in my lifetime. I was born in 1990, so I haven't seen MSU football on this pedestal ever. So, but yeah, that was a game that, you know, if they would have beat Oregon, I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, hey, Michigan State would probably be in the top four right now. Let's be honest here, because Oregon is fourth right now. With the second poll that has come out, Oregon, the Oregon Ducks are number four. But focusing on this game now, Michigan State is playing Ohio State. Again, this has Big Ten championship implications. This has four-team playoff implications. It's a huge game, and both of these sides know that. For me, what it comes down to, though, there's numerous factors that go just beyond your average, can Michigan State slow down JT Barrett, and so on and so forth. Not just the obvious storylines here. I honestly think, OSU's defense, hey, you can't sleep on Ohio State's defense. If you look at it, if you look at last year, so to speak, Ohio State's defense kind of reached a breaking point facing the Spartans. They surrendered, if you remember, 304 passing yards and three touchdowns to Connor Cook. It was during a moment where Connor Cook was really starting to find his stride, probably the most confident man in college football, probably the most confident man on this entire planet. And, you know, he was rolling. He gave OSU's defense a lot of trouble. But I will say, though, this defense, this Ohio State defense is nothing to snooze at, though, folks. This year, you know, Ohio State has a new defensive coordinator in Chris Ash. He has kind of re-engineered Ohio State's pass defense this season and has this Ohio State Buckeyes defense as one of the best in the nation. And they've had some successful results so far this year. Now, through the first eight games of the year, the Buckeyes actually possessed the nation's 13th best passing defense, giving up an average of 181.4 yards per contest. So they've been doing a stellar job week to week to week. So now you put that in perspective. When you play a defense, an Ohio State defense, that has certainly been outstanding so far this year. And you now pit them against a Michigan State offense that has just been off the charts so good. I mean, my goodness. Connor Cook, it seems so cool and confident in the pocket. Cool, confident Cook is what I call him. Because the way that he has sort of orchestrated this offense, made tight throws in certain situations. I mean, he's got a love connection going with Tony Lippert right now that's arguably the best in the nation. Definitely one of the best in the nation. The best in the Big Ten, at least. Tony Lippert is playing out of his mind, making catches that, oh my goodness, he looks like Dez Bryant out there sometimes. And, you know, the man is thrown for about 1,800 yards, and 17 touchdown passes. That's through the roof, folks. So, you know, now, you know, you go against an Ohio State defense, a defense that, you know, is one of the best you've seen all year. How will Cook perform? That is the question. Now, again, looking at, you know, those, again, those numbers are certainly gaudy. 1,800 pass yards, 17 touchdowns in Michigan State's first eight games of the year so far. He's continued to roll. He actually ranks third in the Big Ten in passing yards and second in touchdowns. Now, while Cook has put up big numbers in terms of yardage and TDs, folks, he's also struggled a little bit with his accuracy. I will say that. To run it down by the numbers, I always say the numbers never lie. It's evident by his 60.6 completion percentage. That's just a minor improvement from a season ago, where he completed 58% of his passes. So even though Cook has made some throws that you just sit there and shake your head and say, wow, he's also been, you know, when you look at the completion percentage, it could be a little bit better. So there is room for improvement there, especially. You got to be on your game. Connor Cook has to be on his game facing this Ohio State defense. Another guy, a guy to look for in this whole thing, is Jalen Marshall. Jalen Marshall is a guy who kind of reminds me of Percy Harvin, seeing as though Ohio State loves to put him in different positions on the field. I mean, hey, he can play running back. He's got good hands. He can play wide receiver. Heck, Ohio State has even tried this guy at quarterback a few times this year. So he's a hybrid player, a playmaker who has really stood out. Now, Marshall's versatility was on full display in the Buckeyes' win over Illinois when, you know, he had rushed the ball five times, 42 yards in the touchdown, caught one 18-yard pass and came up incomplete while attempting another. I mean, Jalen is a guy who can beat you in multiple different ways. Michigan State, watch for him. Jalen Marshall, that's the name you're going to be, I think you're going to be heard called a lot on Saturday. But also, there's the thing of that defensive line. Yes, looking at Ohio State, they have struggled against good, above average, I should say, defensive lines. Evident by their September 6th loss to VT, Virginia Tech, and the really close call on October 25th against Penn State. Virginia Tech has an outstanding defensive line that can give you problems, and so can the Nittany Lions. Now, that's an issue to be raised now, looking as though Michigan State has an outstanding defensive line led by guys like Shalik Calhoun and Marcus Rush. Those are guys on the edges. That's just two guys that can give you a lot of problems controlling the edges. So Ohio State, they will have their hands full, and the offensive line is going to have to bring it. And again, this is a game that's huge. It is going to decide who wins the Big Ten, folks. I'm just going to be plain honest with you. This is the game that is going to decide that. Going to be a fun game to watch. I can't wait for it. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday after I got done taping the TV show, and he's actually hit me up like, "Al, man, you know, you got any strings to pull here? Can you get me any tickets?" I'm like, nope, I wish. This game, everything is sold out. It's hard. It's a hot ticket, folks. It's a hot ticket. I'm curious for you out there. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. It's going to be a good one, folks. And again, with this whole going back to this whole Twitter situation, because again, you know, it's so comical to me when, you know, a Twitter war goes on. I don't get into it with a lot of people on Twitter. I never really get into it with anybody on Twitter. If I'm on Twitter getting into it with somebody, it's really about a game. You know, it's nothing personal or anything. I remember the biggest Twitter feud that I got into. I remember, if you remember that that whole replacement referee year in the NFL where the Green Bay Packers were playing the Seattle Seahawks and Golden Tate made the quote unquote catch that won the game. And I remember I immediately, because I'm tweeting during just about every game, and I went on Twitter and, you know, I expressed my thoughts. It was not a catch. What in the world were these refs looking at? Blah, blah, blah. And I got into like a four-page letter Twitter war with one of my former friends in high school, man, and we got into it online. It was pretty comical stuff, but I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. It was not a catch. Clearly not a catch. So every once in a while, it will happen. And, you know, I found it comical, though, that Braxton Miller, the Ohio State quarterback, who, again, he's hurt. He's not playing on Saturday, decided to call out Juwan Jones for his comments, saying that he thinks JT Barrett is a better quarterback. And I just don't come to – I can't fathom how somebody who is not even playing in the game – it's one thing if you're playing. If you were playing Saturday and lacing them up and putting on that helmet, putting on that Buckeye helmet and going out there and had an opportunity to back up your words, okay, I see where you're coming from because, you know, it won't be just all talk. You gotta prove something out there. But if you are a guy who's not even playing and are on the injured list, how can you even make a rebuttal to that? Yeah, definitely. I always say pride killed the cat. And Braxton, yeah, that definitely applies to this situation. So, but it's comical. But, yeah, I like it, though. It adds a little nastiness to this rivalry. It adds a little added flair, if you will. It adds a little storyline. We know, as journalists, we love this stuff. We get to talk about it on radio shows and write up in the paper about it. But it's just unfortunate that Braxton Miller can't back up his words. Fun stuff, folks. All right, let's hit the first break, folks. When we come back, you'll get a sneak preview into my sit down with two-time NBA champion and 2004 Detroit Pistons. Well, he's a longtime Piston guard, but again, a lot of people know him from 2004 when he won that NBA championship. Lindsey Hunter, you get a sneak peek into that interview and so much more. Packed show for you, folks. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Welcome back to Current Sports, folks. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. It is Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports, and we love to throw in throwback music. Music from back in the Dizay right there. That's a little, how should we classify that genre there, Alex? That is like some old ski woppity doo.
A little bit of 50s, 60s ski woppity doo. That's
there
it.
We go.
It's a
little I just dubbed it as a ski woppity doo. Yeah, Frank Sinatra, man. Yeah. Have you seen that Derek Jeter commercial at all, by the way?
Great, yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable? I had never, ever heard of that Frank Sinatra song until I watched that Derek Jeter commercial done by Gatorade where Derek Jeter, he's walking the streets, you know, it's his farewell tour. And it's real reaction from fans, too. He's just going up to fans and thanking them, and people are going crazy and taking selfies with him and whatnot. And the song that's playing is, oh, man, it's Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. And man, oh man, that became one of my definitely it's on my iPod list, to say the least. I love that song. But shout out to Frank Sinatra, man, one of the greats to ever do it. Again, folks, we're taking your calls here 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, we've got two hot tickets for you. If you want to go to the Michigan State, St. Cloud State MSU men's basketball game tomorrow night. We will take your calls here on the air, but there's a catch. It'll make it easy for you. Well, I will say these two questions are definitely Googleable. Yeah, I just made that word up. They're definitely Googleable. So if you call in, have that phone ready. They're not real hard. I didn't go into like in-depth history here. Except on one question, but I may or may not throw it at you. Who knows? If I'm feeling it, I may just ask you that. But they're not real hard. If you want to call in and win those tickets, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, folks. But in the meantime, you know, again, I'm certainly was excited when I got the call back from this guy that he wanted to come on Current Sports and be my my guest for this week. Because anybody who knows me, and I've made it very, very well known here on the show, then I am the biggest Detroit Pistons fan you'll ever meet in your life. I mean, if you walk into my apartment, I just got a huge Detroit Pistons Bad Boys banner. You guys remember the Bad Boys from the 80s, right? And the whole, you know, the logo that was there with the basketball and the skull and crossbones. Yeah. I got that plastered on my apartment wall. I still got my Chauncey Billups jersey. I still have my Chauncey Billups autograph hat. I'm a huge Piston guy. And for those of you who followed the Pistons in 2004, more specifically, you guys know they won an NBA championship. That was the last championship that the Detroit Pistons did win. And there was a guy on that team who was a very, very well-known contributor and a really nice guy as well. His name was Lindsey Hunter. He's a former guard for the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, Lindsey, man, oh, man, I tell you how I met the guy. I was actually in Powerhouse Gym in Novi, and a friend of mine who I grew up with named Carl, he always plays ball there. And Carl, he's sitting there, you know, we're playing like 21, shooting it up, and he says, yeah, you know, Lindsey Hunter's two sons play here. And I'm like, get out of here, you're joking. Next thing you know, they both walk in. Both of Lindsey Hunter's sons walk in. They look just like him. And I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, Lindsey just walked in too. And I look back, and it's Lindsey Hunter. And he's over there just shooting around with his sons. And, you know, we decided to play 5-on-5, excuse me. And we were a man short, and Lindsey agreed to play with us. So I played pickup ball with him, and, you know, we powwowed and talked, and, you know, boom, we got him on the show. So just to give you guys a sneak peek into tonight's interview, it's going to be a fantastic episode. You don't want to miss it, folks. I first had to ask Lindsey, with him not only winning in 2004 an NBA championship with the Pistons, but also winning one in 2001 with that Lakers dynasty that featured Shaq, Kobe, Derek Fisher, you know, Rick Fox, Robert Horry. I mean, I go going on and on and on. I mean, that team was fantastic. But just how does it feel? What is it like? What does that moment mean when you win an NBA title?
I think you can think back to just playing basketball by yourself in the backyard. And the only thing a kid thinks about is, oh, I'm in the championship game and I hit the game winner or something like that, you know?
Right.
So regardless to, you know, when you get older and you start thinking about, you know, shoe contracts and your personal accolades, the first thing you think about is winning a championship, you know, and to see it come to pass and to just live through it, you know, it was like the pinnacle of my athletic career. It's like, you know, this is it. This is what you work for. This is, you know, why you get up and this is why you run. This is why you sacrifice to win it all.
Now, the chemistry on that team is something that, you know, is definitely heralded in NBA history. Because, I mean, and just looking at the series, because you played against the former team that you played on, against Shaq and Kobe and Gary Payton and Karl Malone and those cats, you know, back in 2004. You guys were heavy underdogs. Nobody thought the Pistons would win. You guys ended up winning that series 4-1. What was the chemistry like between you guys? Because it seems as though you guys were just so close in it, just blue-collar, hard-working dudes.
Well, I think it was a very, very unique team because I've never been on a team quite like that because everybody was so down to earth and, you know, nobody was above the team, you know. And, and we had guys who were super talented, you know. Rasheed Wallace arguably is probably the most talented power forward, you know, to play in the NBA, talent-wise.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree.
And he was a guy that didn't want anybody else to step outside of the team realm, and he would, you know, yell at guys, and, you know, we all would yell at each other, and it was like growing up in a big house with a bunch of, you know, brothers and sisters, and you know, everybody was pulled in that way, and that made it so unique because there was nobody was above reproach. We could come up to anybody and say how we felt, you know,
and be real with each other.
And it was so good because guys didn't take it personal, you know, and if you can get past that point on the team, I mean, you got something special. And you know, we just had that bond and we had that understanding of, you know, what we were supposed to do. And, you know, if Rip went crazy, you know, I'd grab him by the collar and say, "Yo, calm down." You know, and it was okay. You know, guys respected that. And I think the way the team was assembled and the parts that we had, and I mean, we had a really deep team. I mean, we could go 12 deep.
Yeah,
you know,
without a doubt.
Right.
Everybody on that team contributed in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, Eldon Campbell probably didn't play majority of the season, but, you know, playoff time, we needed him, and he was ready. You know, Darvin Ham, Corliss Williams.
Man, I forgot about those.
Yeah, I mean, we had a bunch of guys that could really play, and it just made a special situation.
Now, really quickly, Lindsey, do you have a favorite memory from being with those guys? Any story, any fun story?
Oh.
Tons of those, huh?
Yeah.
Tons of those. Maybe some you can't even announce.
Yeah, I can't share a lot of the stories because if you know anything about that team, you know how.
Right. Silly guys, right?
But, I mean, I think the biggest memory was the fact that we stuck together so close, and we had this saying, and we would scream it out. Everybody, only the inner circle really knew what it meant.
Okay.
And eventually, our coach found out what it meant.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? Can you say what that saying is? Or is that like rated R? We can't.
It's not rated R. But if I share it, you know, I'd probably have to kill everybody in here. You know what I'm saying?
We don't want that, Dan. Right, we don't want that, Lindsey.
Right. But it was so fun because we would do it, and you could see Coach looking at us like, you know, giving like, us what, that, what yeah, yeah. And so he found out what it meant, and he called us in practice one day. He said, "Yeah, I know what that means." But his reply, his rebuttal to us was, you know, "I don't care what you guys do, as long as you bring it out between the lines, I don't care.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters."
And you guys certainly did, to say the least.
It was so refreshing to play on a team that, you know, we went at it in practice. I mean, we went at it in practice tougher than the games. Mm-hmm. And to be in that environment, like when a new guy would come, it was culture shock. Because we didn't call fouls in practice.
Right.
And
right.
we went at each other like, you
no
know.
No holds barred.
Oh, man, it was brutal.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
New guys would come in and, you know, they would get slapped and knocked down and they would go,
"What in the world is this?"
And everybody would fuss at them. "Get up. We don't call fouls, dude. Sup." You know?
Man, love that.
And it made us so tough.
Right.
And so mentally tough. I think that was the toughest team mentally I've ever been a part of because nothing knocked us on our heels. I mean, we just thought we could overcome whatever.
Now, Lindsay, there's a flip side to every story and every great team.
Right.
Every great team eventually reaches a point where they've hit that peak, that pinnacle.
Right.
And then comes the downward spiral.
Right.
Now, for you guys, again, that team was so well orchestrated and put together. It was so shocking to me to see what ensued after when guys just kind of went their own way. I mean, Ben Wallace going to the Bulls and then, you know, you just saw the little pieces just kind of just float away year by year. What happened with that team?
Well, I think it's just like any other success story. People want parts of success. So, you know, people start pulling at the parts, you know. How can you blame Ben for turning down $65 million? You know, coming from where he came from, you know, undrafted,
right,
undersized, always said he was underskilled. He was a self-made player. And, you know, he got what he rightfully deserved, and we were happy for him. You know, I was with him that summer. And we were going around playing basketball at gyms, and, you know, he was just like, "Man, I don't want to leave." And I'm like, "I understand, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, you know?"
And this is when he was offered the contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he was really struggling with it at first.
Oh, he was. Because, you know, this was home for him, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
No one had embraced him like Detroit, and that meant a lot to Ben. And it was hurtful for him to go, but I told him, you know, if you get too sad, just go to the bank. Tell him to crack open
the
cover.
Just look at the account. Right, he ain't gonna join anybody, right?
Oh, right. Man. But you know, it was tough. But you know, it happens to the best of teams.
It definitely does. How close are you with the guys now? Chauncey and Rip and Tayshaun, all those guys. How close are you with them?
I think we have an everlasting bond, you know, because now when we see each other, we, you know, pick up right where we left off. We talk about family. We talk about our kids. We talk about, you know, the different things that,
right.
you know, the understanding of what we have now. What we were trying to tell some of the younger guys, they are telling the younger players, they're like, "These guys don't get it."
Right.
And I'm like, "Man, we used to say that about you, you know?"
Exactly,
And it's funny seeing all that happen, and you know, and me moving on to the coaching aspect of it, looking down and having the respect of those guys, you know, means a lot to me.
And now, you know, to talk about the coaching realm of things, now to shift gears into that, how did you, you know, get bit by the coaching bug? I mean, what was that like, and did you ever think you'd be a coach?
I think I was always built for that because, you know, coming from where I came from, I'm, you know, born in Jackson, Mississippi, small town, country kid.
Yeah.
I'd never met a pro athlete in my life. You know, the closest thing to a professional athlete was Jackson State football.
Right.
I looked up to those guys, and, you know, my dream was to be a wide receiver for Jackson State.
Not even hoop?
No.
Not even play ball?
No. I was like, "I'm going to play football. I'm going to be a wide receiver for Jackson State."
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I was like always too short.
Okay.
So in the South, you playing football and you're short, they're like, "Okay, you know, like, good effort."
Good effort. Nice job. But right. Not cutting the mustard. Right.
So, you know, I was, you know, forced to play basketball and I end up falling in love with basketball. And, you know, playing basketball was different for me because I look at the younger kids now. And from a young age, they're thinking about the NBA. And just thinking back, I never thought about the NBA as a young kid.
Right.
I always thought about, like, you know, man, I got to get a scholarship. That was the biggest driving force for me, was getting a scholarship and going to play college basketball. And my dad, we would always talk, and he was like, "Look, you love the game so much, the worst thing you can do is get your degree and coach." You know? And
there
I was like,
go.
that's pretty cool, you know. And some things happened. I grew a little bit. You know, I was like 5'9" going to college. I grew a couple inches and, you know, got stronger and was fortunate enough to, you know, develop into an NBA player. And everything else just kind of snowballed from there. But I've always at heart wanted to coach. And even when I played, I was, you know, telling everybody what to do.
Right.
You
know? Right. So, and it's like natural point guards, right?
Right.
Now, you know, looking at your coaching career right now, I know you were under Mark Jackson over in Golden State. Mark, of course, was sadly, I mean, really shocking to everybody in the sports world.
Yeah.
He was let go by the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr has now started his first coaching career over there now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being under Mark, are you just waiting for him to get a job back in to be under his realm? Or are you waiting for that perfect opportunity to get back in there? What's the goal now?
Well, the biggest thing in the NBA is relationships. Right. You know, it's who you know. It's the person that's comfortable with you, you know, who you have some history with. And I have some history with some, you know, guys that, you know, maybe GMs later on who, you know, I would have a great opportunity to, you know, become a head coach again. But, you know, I haven't ruled out, you know, coaching college. I've had some interest, you know, talking about coaching some college teams. So, you know, I'll just sit around and right now I'm coaching my kids at home,
right,
which is fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, they know and my wife knows that I'm going to coach somebody somewhere. You know, and no matter where it is, you know, I'll be ready for it and constantly preparing myself. But that's just, this is in me. I love basketball. I always want to be around it. Never can get enough of it, you know.
So if Mark does get a job, head coaching job somewhere, will you hop back on that and help him out?
Of course, in a heartbeat. You know, it was an honor working for Coach Jackson. He was just, he did things the right way, you know.
Right.
And when you're around that, and that environment, man, it was sort of like being back in Detroit, how he made the environment there, you know.
Right.
And me working in the NBA, you know, I started off scouting. You know, I was a pro scout, then I went to college scouting, worked in the front office. You know, Lance Blanks was the GM in Phoenix who really took me under his wing and taught me everything. You know, it reassured me that I didn't want to work in the front office.
Gotcha. That was
you know,
gonna
I learned,
work.
I learned a lot about that. I learned a lot about the meetings and all the stuff that you had to go through. And, you know, I'm not a front office guy. I need to be on the court. But it was great information. I think I got a lot sharper and understand the dynamics of the two relationships of a coach and the GM in the front office.
Yeah.
You know, it taught me a lot. And I interestingly, I got to coach, you know, be the head coach in Phoenix for half a season, which was great for me because it threw me right in the fire.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember that when you got the job.
Yeah,
I believe, Jeff Hornacek took over?
No, it was Alvin Gentry was the
Alvin head. Alvin Gentry,
and he quit halfway
right.
through the season, you know, and I was fortunate enough to be able to coach, and, man, it was great. It was a great experience. And it was natural for me. I think before I experienced it, people were telling me, well, it's different when you move over to that seat, you know? And I'm like, well, maybe, but I think I embraced it, you know, I had to learn on the fly, you know, it was really, but it was like second nature, you know.
Right.
And the biggest challenge for new coaches, you know, is probably the out of timeout situations. You have to really, you know, because I got, you know, boards all around my house now that, you know, every room I'm in, I'm drawing up plays.
Drawing up something.
Watching a game and I'll say, what would I do in that situation, you know.
Gotcha.
And that's just part of it, you know. I hear a lot of stories about the great coaches, the things that they did, you know, to become great, and that's what I aspire to do.
So head coaching is certainly something you got your eyes set
on.
Oh,
definitely.
Without a doubt. That's certainly a goal. All right, well, 30 seconds left before we get to the 12th man, Lindsey. First off, just really briefly, what is it like to coach your sons? I mean, right now you have one in some prep school, one in eighth grade. I know they want to get to the NBA. That's the dream for them, too. And to see, you know, have a father to do what you've done in the NBA. What's that like for you?
It's great for me, man. I enjoy it. I talk to a lot of fathers who say, man, I can't tell them anything. And I'm like, no, don't say that.
Right.
I tell my kids everything. And I expect them to do what I, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating and it's so much fun because you see a lot of yourself in your kids. And
right.
You see the good parts and you see the bad parts. When they don't want to listen and when they do, you know. But I enjoy it and I just take it day by day. And I realize that they're going to get older and they're going to leave one day. And I'm going to miss that. So I just pour into them as much as I can.
Yeah, folks, and they're pretty good, too. The way Lindsey and I met, I was actually playing pickup ball at Powerhouse Gym in Novi and got to meet Lindsey, and he lit me up for 12. I did score 7.
Yes, I did, folks. I kid you not. Ask Lindsay himself. Ask him himself, folks. All right. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, we've got Throwback Thursday for you. We'll talk a little Red Wings and Pistons, and, yeah, we'll still be taking your calls, folks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. A girl has found a...
Welcome back to Current Sports, folks. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we have about 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in, 517-355-9527, and try your hand at winning a pair of tickets to go and see the Michigan State men's basketball team take on St. Cloud State. Give us a call, and we'll put you on the air and, throw a trivia question at you. Not a hard one. Don't get nervous. I know those palms may be sweaty. You're thinking about it, all right? But just give us a call, and it'll be an easy question, I promise, all right? 517-355-9527. I'm now joined by our outstanding interns, Eric Steem and Andrew Hayes. How you guys doing? Happy Thursday, my brothers.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, isn't it? Well, in the mind it is,
right,
because
right.
Outside it's a little cold and rainy,
it's another
man.
Day of life.
Yeah,
it's
good to be in here doing radio.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, exactly. I woke up this morning. I had a sore throat, man, and I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I had a sore throat. I had to take some medicine. I took some medicine last night. This weather's bothering me, man. Then I had an eye infection on Monday. I had pink eye on Monday. Like, dude, it is just my health has been going through some things, but hey. Anytime you wake up, it's a good day, right?
You know, you're blessed that you can have a sore throat and still have a better voice than the majority of people that would be on it.
That's true.
Stop it. No, I'm telling you, my voice—I have an average voice, okay, folks? I wish, Andrew. But thank you for the compliment, my man. But, guys, you know, we're looking at this situation. At first, really briefly, before we get into Throwback Thursday, Michigan State and Ohio State, you know, I've gotten into Twitter wars before. With different individuals who, because you get a lot of people, especially in my business, in our business, I should say, that try to test you, you know, try to test your knowledge of sports. I'm sure when you guys go home, family members try to say, Andrew, Eric, what do you think about this game? No, I disagree with you. And they try to get into a huge debate about it. And it happens all the time on Twitter because Twitter allows you to have this one-on-one connection that's pretty cool with people who follow your work and who try to test you in different regards when it comes to sports. I told you about my story when I got into it with a friend of mine, a few of them actually, with the whole Golden Tate. Did he catch it? Did he not? You know, when the Packers, you know, beat the Seahawks. Well, when the Seahawks beat the Packers on that play, excuse me. And it happens, you know. Have you guys ever gotten Twitter wars? I'm wondering. Has it happened before?
Briefly, that's something I try to stay away from. The thing about Twitter wars is they have time on the other end to ask people to go look up stats. Anyone can sound like a genius on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
So I prefer the face-to-face contact, that kind of debate. It's usually more classy. Online, no one really gets swayed. It's just people throwing stuff at each other.
Are you a big Twitter guy in the first place, Eric?
I like to tweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. What about you, Andrew? You ever gotten one?
I try to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like Eric said, most people are pretty dumb. So it's not really worth my time to go jabber at somebody that I don't know. Or if it is somebody that I know, then I'll call them and say, hey,
yeah, you know, exactly.
What do you got to say?
What do you got to say? Let's talk about this. You know what I mean? What do you guys think about Braxton Miller's response to Jones?
It's pretty harmless considering he doesn't have to worry about getting his head taken off by Jones on Saturday. So
it's kind of like he's hiding behind a keyboard, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Be very interested to see what he said if he was playing.
Oh boy, I wish he was playing on Saturday. That'd be some added incentive to watch if you don't already have one for Lord knows what reason,
and
right?
He's just feeding him something more to go after Barrett now. I mean, that's
throwing more logs on that fire.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, really briefly here, let's go into our Throwback Thursday segment. Each and every Thursday, we like to hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what has happened on this Thursday in sports history. Here we go. Time to get into Throwback Thursday, folks.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks, it's Throwback Thursday time where we take a look at what has happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. So, it is November 6th. let's take a look at what took place in sports on this day. All right, starting with 1861 here. Yeah, it's a long, long time ago. 1861, the inventor of basketball. Yes, Dr. James Naismith, he was born. Dr. James Naismith was born to the world, the man who brought us the great game of basketball. Thank you, James. It's my favorite sport, and without you, who knows what would be my favorite sport? Probably football, to be honest with you. But thank you, James. He was born on this day in 1861. In 1869, 8 years later, the first official intercollegiate football game was played in New Brunswick, New Jersey. So there you have that. Ideally, the first college football game played on this day in 1869. 1958, the American League announced that Kansas City would play a record 52 night games in 1959. Wow, how about that? So a lot of primetime matchups for Kansas City. 1966, Tim Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles ran back not one, but two kickoffs for touchdowns in the same game against my Dallas Cowboys. Tim Brown, hats off to you in a very salty way. Tim Brown running back, not one but two kickoffs against the Cowboys in 66. In 1969, a tie for the Cy Young Award occurred for the very first time. Detroit's Denny McLain and Baltimore's Mike Seulier both won the award for best pitcher in the American League. How about a tie? That's crazy. That's unbelievable. In 1969, that took place. 1974, Mike Marshall became the first relief pitcher to win the Cy Young Award. How about that? That takes some talent to be a relief
Michigan
pitcher.
Michigan native.
Exactly. Gotta love that. Let's see here. 1982, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the National Football League could not dictate the hometown of a team. How about that? The case resulted from the Oakland Raiders wanting to move to L.A. Some interesting political sports feel with that one. How about that? All right, 1989, NFL charities donated $1 million through the United Way to benefit the victims of the Bay Area earthquake. I actually saw for the very first time the documentary. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was a 30 for 30 done 2 weeks ago on that very earthquake. It's called When the Series Stopped, and highlights the local rivalry that ensued when these two teams met in the World Series, the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants. And during one of those games, right before that game took place, an earthquake happened that tragically took the lives of many. It is a fantastic, fantastic 30 for 30. It's hard to find a 30 for 30 that is not fantastic in the first place. So, but in 1989, the NFL, in a very classy way, donating $1 million through United Way to help the victims of that earthquake, one of the biggest in our nation's history. All right, in 1995, ESPN announced a five-year contract extension with Major League Baseball. The contract represented the first time that baseball's postseason would be on cable. How about that? All right, in 1995, that same year, we got a lot of 1995s here. Art Modell, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, announced plans to move his team to Baltimore. Also that same year, it was announced that a contract had been signed on October 27th that finalized the Cleveland Browns' move to Baltimore. 1995 as well, Mark Messier scored his 500th NHL goal. One of the greats right there. Shout out to Mark. 96, I feel like we'd be getting a lot of Michael Jordan instances happening on this on Throwback Thursdays these past few weeks. But on this day in 1996, Michael Jordan, the great one, scored 50 points for the 29th time in his career. Man, was he good. And in 2002, Emmitt Smith, Dallas Cowboy, he dropped the puck at a game between the Dallas Stars and Vancouver Canucks. And we do have a few more here to get to. In 1869, it marked the first collegiate football game in the United States. Again, that game was Rutgers and Princeton in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Rutgers won that game 6-4. 1997, the Tigers moved from AL East to Central to offset Milwaukee's transition from AL to NL. The Brewers were the first team to switch leagues. And 2004, Charlotte Bobcats' first franchise victory over the Magic, 111-100. And in 2009, Kobe Bean Bryant became the youngest player to reach 24,000 points. Woo! That is a long-winded Throwback Thursday. A busy, busy day for November 6th in the history of sports. Speaking of Kobe Bryant, guys, you know, Kobe Bryant, I mean, he's just in such a bad situation over there in L.A. I kind of went on a rant about it yesterday about, I mean, how he really has no one around him. But I ran down some stats that were pretty alarming to me, seeing as though Kobe in his 39-point performance against the Phoenix Suns only had one assist the entire game. It just shows you that Kobe doesn't even trust his teammates that's on that team, rather alone will play with them. So, but crazy stuff there. All right, that wraps up our Throwback Thursday, folks. Man, so much happening on that day. Really brief before we wrap the show, guys. I don't know if you guys caught the Pistons last night, but they finally got their first win of the season and the first win of the Stan Van Gundy era. Detroit was up 18 in the fourth, and then after that, I started biting my nails and throwing pillows at my TV, yelling at my dog. I was going nuts, folks, trying to figure out what in the world is going on with the Detroit Pistons. But they squeaked it out, 4-point win over the Knicks. What are your takeaways of this team right now? It's still early, I know. Eric?
I think they'll be fine. I really do. I think they easily could be 7th or 8th in the
In the
Eastern Conference. It's not a very good conference. They're not a great team, but I think Stan Van Gundy's going to get them going together. There were a lot of promising things last night. Some really good things on the defensive side. I think Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings need to get going offensively, obviously.
Right.
But what Josh Smith didn't do offensively, he did defensively. Shut down Carmelo pretty well.
Yeah, he did a good job. Him and Caron Butler did a really good job at containing Carmelo. Yeah. Carmelo actually, he missed his first 9 shots. He was limited to 13 points, 5 of 21 shooting. Ugh, yeah. Ugly. Andrew, what's your take, man?
I'm still waiting. I think Stan Van Gundy might be the guy to do it. But I'm still waiting for a head coach of the Pistons to say to Josh Smith, if you take one more 3-pointer, you're never playing in a game ever again.
Thank you.
That's all that needs to happen. Yes. It has to be that type of ultimatum because clearly nothing else is working. You've got a guy who shoots just under 28% for his career from 3-point, who still chucks up how many a night?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, I sit back and just watch this man just constantly throw up crap left and right. And I wonder how, you know, I don't even blame Smith anymore. Because if you're not getting reprimanded for it, why stop doing it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This coaching staff needs to say, hey, okay, get your butt in the paint. Start making some things happen down there because you obviously cannot shoot the basketball. It's ridiculous to me.
Well, and that's what's bizarre to me is it's not like he's a small dude. He's 6'9". Go into the paint and he can do work inside. When he goes to the hoop, when he tries, you know, makes a post move, pulls right. somebody up. That's all I'm looking for. Stop
exactly.
shooting 3-pointers. You're not helping anybody.
I hear you. And to put in perspective, folks, he was a horrific 2-for-17 last night. And, you know, there were multiple times throughout that game, if you guys had the volume up like I did, he was booed noticeably on his last two misses. So, yeah, Josh Smith, oh, that's terrible. But again, yeah, Eric, you mentioned the great performance on Carmelo Anthony. Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond, I love how those two play with each other. I think that could be definitely a staple for Stan Van to build upon as the season goes on.
They're
fun to watch, aren't they? Fun to watch. All right, folks, well, we are out of time on this Thursday, November 6th, but thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Again, catch Current Sports TV tonight as I sit down with former Piston hoop great Lindsey Hunter. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a fantastic episode. You also get to hear from Mateen Cleaves and Tom Izzo on the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Get to see highlights from some high school playoff action. A jam-packed show on Current Sports TV tonight. Hopefully you tune in and enjoy it. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.